It was interesting last week. I was able to baptize someone in the Rogue River. And it was a beautiful day. There was no smoke and sand. And I got out there and we picked a place on the river where it was kind of sandy and there was a gentle gradual slope. And it was a wonderful experience. And Jesus says that that's important. You must be born of the water. And so Nikki last week was born of the water. And then he also says you need to be born of the Spirit. What in the world does that mean? Remember the preacher you used to always have a chest? You remember that? Okay, I have a chest today, and we have somebody to open up the chest. Would you like to come and open up the chest and see what's inside? I could even come down. I'll tell you what I'll do. Yeah, you could open up the chest and see what's in the chest. You want to take that out and show people? Okay.
What is it?
It's a glove. Okay, that's right. Now, this is a very simple illustration. This is us. And when we're baptized, we go under the water and we come up out of the water. That's not enough. Because unfortunately, this glove, you and I, sometimes do things that we don't want to do. Have you ever, when you were a kid, did you ever have your big brother, your big sister, grab your hand and stop hitting yourself? Why are you hitting yourself? Well, I can't help it. How many of you have ever gone through that? It's just one of those rites of being a child, I guess. Well, this is us under the control of Satan. And we're absolutely powerless. And so Jesus says, you have to be born of the Spirit. Something has to go inside you and I so that Satan can no longer control us. 2 weeks, Lord willing, going to be talking about walking in the Spirit. Tomorrow, Linda and I are escaping the smoke and we're going to Colorado for our vacation. That we had this planned months in advance. Who would have thought? But we'll be back, Lord willing. Anyway, the problem is we want the Holy Spirit to go inside us. But he can't, because there's things inside of us that stop him. And so the process of life, of conversion, of surrender, is taking this stuff out. And the Holy Spirit can make a little bit of progress, but still doesn't have control. And so then, and it's painful, we surrender, more things come out. Okay, how about the thumb? The thumb is a really important part of us, and here it comes. We want the Holy Spirit to have complete control of us, every single part of us. And here comes the index finger, very important. Actually, that's the little finger, all right? Here's the index finger. And so when we, to be born of the Spirit, completely emptied of self, then the Holy Spirit comes into us. He has complete control over us. Can I hear an amen?
Amen?
And you know, we are no longer under Satan's control. We are under Jesus' control. And I think that that's so precious. Okay, back here to the sermon notes. This is point number two. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. This is John 3:6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now here's the thing. We had Gemma this morning. She was up here and she's probably up there or in the mother's room. We celebrate the progress that a child makes. A child that is born of the flesh. Oh, look, they can sit up. Look, they're crawling. Look, they're walking. Look, they're getting into the kitchen cabinet. Oh, no. And you know, every little thing that a child does, it's a stage of independence. And we celebrate this independence. That's what it is to be born of the flesh. Amen. Independence. Would you believe that born of the Spirit is the exact opposite? When you are born of the Spirit, it's all about dependence. I can't do anything, Lord. Please help me. And so the Lord comes in and he enables us. The Holy Spirit enables us. And, you know, Jesus in this talk with Nicodemus, he says, the Holy Spirit's like wind. You can't control the wind. We can't control the wind or the fire, but Jesus can. You can't control the Holy Spirit. But the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to make us understand dependence. Now, dependence is an interesting thing. Being born of the Spirit means now we're learning to be more and more dependent. Born of the flesh, independence. Born of the Spirit, dependence. And every once in a while, we forget to be dependent. I've got some free texts for you this morning. First one is in Galatians 4, 5, and 6. Galatians 4, 5, and 6. How are we reminded to be dependent upon God? It's very simple. Galatians 4, 5, and 6. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons or daughters, verse 6. And because you are sons and daughters, God hath set forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying what? Abba, Father. It's interesting, this is Aramaic or Greek. In Hindi, Hindustani, and Nepali, it's Baba. In the United States, it's Daddy. So the Holy Spirit, when it sees that we are in trouble and we need him, the Holy Spirit puts this word, just one word, in our hearts, and that's, Daddy, I need you. Help me. And he will come because we are dependent upon him, and he loves it when we ask him for something. I bought a 58 Chevrolet two-door. Beautiful car. You know, and it's the one that had the four headlights, two on each side. It was my pride and joy. And when I even named it. Chantel, I also name my vehicles. And this was Matilda. Because Matilda's shocks, there was something strange about them. And Matilda would just gently waltz down the road. So waltzing Matilda. Well, Matilda started to have problems with her exhaust. And we would go down a hill or go up a hill, and we would look behind, and all we could see was blue smoke. And then we got tired of adding oil into the engine. And so I came to my dad and I said, Dad, Matilda has a big problem. And my dad always solved problems. That's what fathers do. That's why you can depend upon them. And so my dad says, well, son, during Christmas vacation, we will put in new rings. That's the problem, the rings. So we got oversized rings and I helped my dad put in this new rings in the car, and Matilda was like a new car. And you know, there's just one incident where my father was there for me. And when my dad died, it was a traumatic thing because no one loved me more than my dad. My mother loved me, but it was a different kind of love. And when my dad died, I said, okay, to my Heavenly Father, you are going to have to take his place. Amen. And he has. And so whenever you are in a situation, you don't know what to do, the Holy Spirit puts this word, one word in your heart, Daddy. And then comes the ability to be refreshed and encouraged and to understand that God is into the habit of solving our problems. Okay, now I looked at another illustration in the Bible about dependence, and lo and behold, we have the 23rd Psalm. Every time you go to a funeral, the program of the funeral will have the 23rd Psalm. And you know, a lot of good that's doing to the person who has died. Of course, the people that are there mourning, you know, they hopefully will get it. But I think the 23rd Psalm should be on every birth certificate because it's young people who need to know the 23rd Psalm. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's going to supply all of your needs. God says we're sheep. And I'm sorry, sheep are very stupid. Nothing personal, that's just the way we are. We don't know what we want. God knows what we want, and he supplies all of those needs. Verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Green pastures, margin says tender grass, because sheep are very picky. You know, they only want to eat tender grass. And they won't drink water if it's rushing down, you know, like a brook or something. It has to be still. And so God understands how to meet these desires, these needs. Food and water. Those are our thirsts. We are thirsting for God, and we don't know it. Satan comes along and gives us all kinds of stuff. God says, no, I know how to quench your thirst, to satisfy you. Verse 3, he restores my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. And then it doesn't stop there. Why does he say, for his name's sake? God wants us to go on the right path, the path of righteousness, not just for us. It's all about Jesus. It's all about showing people what kind of a God we serve. And so he even gives us the ability to demonstrate what he is like. It's all about Jesus. Did you know that there is a Bible description of what Satan looks like? Now, I'm not talking about his clothing. His clothing is described in Ezekiel 28, but I'm going to give you a description of the face of Satan, what it looks like. It's found in Isaiah 14. What does Satan look like? Isaiah 14, 13, and 14. And God is speaking here to Lucifer. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of the God. I will sit upon the mountain of the congregation on the sides of the north. I will ascend above the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Satan's eyes are too close together. We just read that. I will this, I will that, I will do this, I will do this, I will do that. And that's not the way it is. You know, we're supposed to be talking about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's not about me. And we can do this when we remember that we're his sons and daughters. And whenever we do anything, it always reflects back on our Heavenly Father. What kind of a God do we worship? Okay, we go on to the scary places. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, this is kind of interesting because some of us are being surrounded by fire. Should we be afraid? No. Why? Because God's going to look after us. The shepherd always looks after his sheep. And just to have the presence of the shepherd there calms the sheep down. Now, I perhaps have told you the story about my sheep, Minnie Minnie. I didn't get to name her. Dr. Peter Yockey named her. And when he went from Nepal back to Switzerland, he said, guess what? You have inherited Minnie Minnie. She's a sweet little ewe, and she is gentle. And my wife and I used to love to let watch Minnie Minnie jump around in the yard. She jumped this far up off the ground just because she was happy. Anyway, there were leopards around us. And the problem is how to keep the leopards from eating Minnie Minnie. So Dr. Yockey had devised this. He had a crate that he'd gotten his things in, and it was thick boards, not some little slimsy thing, but he constructed this big box, and we had hay in there. And so every night we had this little routine where we would invite Minnie Minnie, and she would go in. She knew that she needed to get in there to get protected. And she would go in her box, and I'd shut it down, and then she'd go to sleep, and we'd go to sleep. And then one night we heard this awful clawing and scratching, and Minnie Minnie was having a fit. She was bleeding like she was being eaten alive. And so I said to my wife, there's a leopard out there trying to get and eat Minnie Minnie. So I went out there with, you know, ready to do battle with the leopard. But the leopard, of course, took off. So this went on, and finally the leopard knew that this was not going to work. This was not an easy meal. And as the nights went by, Minnie Minnie wasn't as upset when the leopard would come and try to break through the box that she was in. And it was because she was located on the other side of the wall from our bedroom. We were sleeping right there beside her, in a sense. She knew we were there. She knew we'd come out and turn on the lights and chase anything away. And that's the same way we should be, too. You know, we have somebody looking after us. There's guardian angels, and they are pleased for opportunities for us to call out and say, can't do anything. Would you please help me? I need comfort and security. Did you catch that word, comfort, in our opening hymn? The Holy Spirit he's also the comforter, and I love that. Okay, then we have the situation found in John 10. Again, Jesus is the shepherd, John 10, verse 3. And something amazing about Jesus, according to John 10, verse 3, he knows us by name. To him the porter, the shepherd, openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth by his own sheep by their name and leads them out. Over 7 billion people in the planet, God knows each one of our names. And you know, we have easy names. Dale is an easy name. Jim is an easy name. Doug is an easy name. What about the Chinese names? What about the Indian names? South Indian names are like this long. At Spicer College, we didn't call the students by their names. I'm very sorry. We can't pronounce those. We give them a number. I'm P252, okay? And that's how, it's kind of sad, but nobody could pronounce these long names. But God knows our names, even the Indian names that are difficult. And because of that intimate relationship, we follow him. Okay, then we have John 10, verse 4. When he putteth forth his own sheep, did you get that? His own sheep. They don't belong to Satan. They don't belong to anybody else. We are his sheep. He goeth before them. The sheep follow him, and they know his voice. They are following him. They are being guided because they hear the voice of the shepherd. Thank you, Brandy, for your story. I just have one more story to add to her guidance story. I talked to of one of our church members here in Brookings, and I said, do you have any stories about guidance? I wanted to talk about guidance. She said, yes, yes. A while back, they wanted to buy a car from one of these secondhand car people here in Brookings, and they found a really nice car. And somehow they made a deal, but they hadn't signed the papers yet. And so they went back home and they said, okay, if we're going to put out a fleece, we're going to see if God wants us to buy this car. Is this a good car for us to have? So we're going to put out this fleece. If the used car people call within 5 minutes of 12, we will know that this is a good car and we should buy it. Okay, that was the fleece. And they told the Lord, okay, if we're supposed to buy this car, anywhere from 12 o'clock to 5 minutes after 12. Well, 5 minutes after 12 arrived, no call. But 7 minutes after 12, they called. Now, what are you going to do in a situation like that? Well, they said, it's close enough, let's buy the car. And they said that it was the worst car they ever had. Everything went wrong with that car. They were always making repairs and fixing it. So the moral of the story I got from the church member was, fleeces are not a good idea. Brandy's approach was much better. You have a relationship with Jesus, and you can hear him speak to you. It's got to match the Ten Commandments in the Bible, but you can get a response from Jesus. You know, and he prompts you to do this and that. And that is the safest thing, because of course we want to be guided. And you know, this thing about evacuating your house, what kind of stuff do you take with you? You know? And so I just said, okay, Lord, income tax papers, you know, it'd be handy to have those. It's a wonderful thing to have a relationship with God, so close that you can hear him speak to you. The fleece is cheating, because that doesn't necessarily involve a relationship. We want to have a relationship where we're so close to Jesus, we can hear him speaking to us personally. Okay, complete dependence upon God produces peace. This is really where we need to go for in today and tomorrow. And prayer is the way that we unload all the things that are troubling us. Philippians 4:6. Yesterday we left our house on Cape Drive, and we don't know if it's going to be burned down today or tomorrow. And so we prayed. And Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about a thing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And so we put this house in God's hands. In fact, this week we went back and forth several times, and every time we'd pick up something, well, we need this, yeah, we got to have that. And every time we'd leave the house, we'd pray. And we felt better because we, just threw out all of our problems, and gives us peace. That's what peace is all about. Amen. I found this great quotation. Nothing is apparently more helpless. That's us, the sheep. Yet really more invincible. So I like that. Helpless but invincible. Nothing is more helpless, yet really more invincible than the soul that feels its nothingness and relies wholly on the merits of the Savior. God would send every angel in heaven to the aid of such a one rather than allow them, him or her, to be overcome. Amen. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that your house isn't going to burn down. It just means that you're not going to give up your and say, okay, forget religion, forget Jesus, forget being a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. I don't believe anymore. No. God is going to protect you, and he's going to see you through, and you're not going to lose your way. Total dependence upon Jesus comes peace. And this is described in verse 7, Philippians 4:7. The peace of God not the peace of the world, but the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In other words, this peace that God gives you, it keeps your heart. It keeps your emotions. You don't go flying off and running down the street, a main street, yelling hysterically, the fire is coming, the fire is coming. No. Keeps our emotions in check. Keeps our minds in check. It's a wonderful thing to depend upon God. Fruits of the Spirit, also, by the way, peace, that's Galatians 5:22. And then my last point is peace is the thermometer that indicates how much you are depending on God. Amen. Are you really born of the Spirit? If you have peace, you are, because it's a fruit of the Spirit. Yes. If you are completely depending on God, you will have peace. Now, I had a little laboratory thing impressing me with this thought. And I haven't spent a lot of time with doctors and hospitals and people poking needles in me. I've been free from this, and I praise God for that. But this hurt. And Tom, they said, do you want anesthesia or not? And I said, well, what do you think? And they said, well, it's easier for us if you don't have anesthesia. Okay, so I'm not having anesthesia, and they go sticking all of that stuff up my femoral artery. It hurt. And my, you know what my anesthesia was? Prayer. And I'd also like to put in a commercial for memorizing texts. The only text that I could keep saying was, perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. I memorized some verses, but I just couldn't get them right then. But I felt kind of bad, you know, this is bad, you know, the preacher doesn't have any more verses because you can't have your Bible there, you know. They had this big thing looking over me and they covered it all up with plastic. Well, why are you covering it up with plastic? Oh, we don't want you bleeding all over the place. You know, it's a scary thing, and this is a big artery. And they're going to put this wire up this artery, and they're going to go up into my right carotid artery, and then they're going to do something else, and they're going to come down to this junction, and I don't know where it is, and then they're going to cross over to the other side and go up my left carotid artery. There's a lot to be afraid of. But complete peace. Because I was one of those sheep that just says, Lord, what's that text? I am helpless. And I would like you to be invincible. Amen. I give you the ability to be invincible because I am completely open to your Holy Spirit. I can't do anything in this situation. Please take care of this situation. Yes. The doctor comes up and says, it's a miracle. Your carotid arteries are free.
Amen.
I'm still learning about depending upon God. And being born of the Spirit isn't enough. We have to learn how to walk in the Spirit. Thank you for giving me this assignment. I've got 2 weeks for this sermon, and I've got plenty of ammunition here, and we'll learn together how to walk in the Spirit. In the meantime, we have a beautiful hymn about peace. Hymn number 530, When Peace Like a River.
Whatever my lot, thou hast tried.
Sheep, and we're bedded down around your feet, and we feel so secure. We feel so loved. Thank you for being there for us. Thank you for teaching us how to depend completely upon you.
Amen.
Yes.
Fill us each day with your Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Take away this independence that makes us so vulnerable to Satan. May we feel the relationship that those sheep have with you. Teach us how to follow you. Teach us how to listen to your voice. Teach us how to allow you to save us every day. May we always give you the praise and honor because you are the one who can do all things for us. We feel our nothingness, and we sense your almighty sovereign power. May we see that in our lives. Bless also the people who are hurting and suffering with hurricane in Texas. Protect them. We live in a troubled planet, and we long for you to come. So even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.